Fornication. Father, bless now these next moments together as we look at another piece of this puzzle, Lord, looking at the church here at Pergamos and the things that they had going on good for them and the things that they needed some shoring up, Lord. And I do pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now this time in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. All right, we have already covered this church as so far as a church of compromise. And their compromise, we know, led to corruption. We know that's a picture of a Christian, of a church. And we want to make sure that we're not the Christian or the church that is compromised and corrupted. And so we know that that has happened at this church here. Verse 12, we saw the reference to Christ there. Verse 13, we saw their resolve. We saw their toil. He said, I know thy works. We saw their turf. He said, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. I gave Pastor White a hard time about that because his job was kind of tough on him. Amen. And also we saw their tenacity down there as well. He said, thou holdest fast my name through it all. And then we saw how they had their trust of truth. He said, and hast not denied my faith. So they had a good testimony going for them. But then we come down here to verse number 14, and being that this is a church that has been corrupted through compromise, we find out where the rough spot is. We find out where they kind of ran aground. We find out where they kind of fell off the map, if you would, amen, of success, amen. Notice verse 14 says again, but anytime there's a but there, there's a change there. There's a shift there. And Jesus says this, but I have a few things against thee. Praise God, it's only a few things. Amen. I have a few things against thee. And he says, this is what I have against thee. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And then he said this, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. So I'm going to ask us, we're going to try to put that into layman's terms. Put that in layman's terms, okay? First of all, what can you tell me about Balaam? What do we know about Balaam? Compromiser. What else do we know about Balaam? Compromiser is the chief at the top of the list. Balaam. What do we know about Balaam? Brother Neil? Amen. So if you can't beat them, con them. Amen. Anybody else? What do we know about Balaam? Amen. Nobody else know anything about Balaam? Y'all remember reading Balaam, right? Remember talking donkey? That Balaam? Amen. All right. Let's look over there and look at a couple things here at Balaam. Numbers chapter 22. Because if we're going to understand why Jesus has a problem with Balaam teaching there, we got to understand what's going on with Balaam. Because if you don't understand Balaam, then Revelation 12 or chapter 2, verse 14 is not going to make any sense. Numbers chapter 22. And how many of y'all got study Bibles? Anybody got study? Okay, good. I'm going to call on you, and I want you to tell me what the headings of your chapters say in chapters 22, 23, 24, and 25. All right? Yours at your house, amen. All right, who's got a study Bible? What does your chapter 22 heading say over chapter 22? Brother Neil, what does yours say? Okay, anybody else? G2, what does yours say? Balaam is sought by Balak. Okay, anybody else say anything different? Ms. Dawson? The story of Balaam. Story of Balaam, okay. Anybody else say anything different? Okay, yes, Brother Duffy? Okay, Balak sends for Balaam. Okay, the story is this. Balak is going to, he's afraid that Israel is going to come and take over. And so he hires Balaam. Balaam is a prophet. Yes, ma'am? Prophecies of Balaam. Okay. So Balaam supposedly is a prophet. Now, we know he's not a Jewish prophet because he'd be with Israel. So he must be a Gentile prophet of some sort. Now, is he a prophet of God? Obviously not. But he has access to things and the knowledge of God. I don't know how he does this, amen. But he does have this access somehow. Balak knows that. And so Balak calls for Balaam to come. So that should tell you something right off the spot. He ain't no good. He's ready for hire. And I'll go to the next highest bidder. That's not good. Amen. All right. Anybody else say anything else different on chapter 22? Okay. So that's the story. Balak is trying to get Balaam to come and so he can curse Israel. All right. Let's go over to chapter 23. What is, give me some input. Who says something on 23? What is yours? What we got? G2, what is yours say on 23? First oracle of Balaam. Okay. That's his prophecy. Okay. Ms. White, what does yours say? Okay, Balaam blesses Israel. Now, what did Balak call him to do? Curse him, but he blesses, okay? Anybody else say anything different for chapter 23? Study Bibles. Balaam's parables, okay? Anybody else say anything different? Okay? So chapter 23, Balak says, okay, let's get up here and let's get you to curse them. Okay, Balaam comes in here and he blesses. He opens his mouth and blessings come out. He wants to curse, but he can't. He actually tells Balak that he can only do what God lets him do. But he's trying to curse with all his might, but he can't. Every time he's opened up his mouth, blessings come out. Okay, and this happens repeatedly. Let's go over to chapter 24. Anybody say anything about chapter 24? G2, what does yours say? Third oracle of Balaam. Okay, so he's still trying this thing. Amen. Anybody else say anything different? Fred? Tells the happiness of Israel. Okay, so he still just can't curse. Amen. Yes? Balaam's third blessing. Amen. All right. Anybody else say anything different on that one? Andrew? Balaam's prophecy concerning Israel. Amen. That's why. Okay, it continues. Amen. So he's continuing to bless. And he's been hired to do what? Curse. But everything that comes out of his mouth is a blessing. Now, if you hired him to curse someone and he blessed, what would you do? Shoot him, amen. Say, you worthless prophet, what good are you, amen? So that's what's going on thus far, amen? Okay, so chapter 22, 23, 24, he has been hired by Balak to curse the people of Israel. He's not been able to do so. He's tried very hard. Every time he's opened up his mouth, a blessing has come out, okay? And so he's about to leave, and he opens up his mouth one last time and blesses again, okay? Now, what's going on here? He's trying his hardest to curse them, but he can't do it. What does Balak want to happen? He wants to be rid of them altogether, okay? Everybody got the picture now? And so he leaves. Notice chapter 24 and notice verse number 25. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went away. So it looks like it's over, doesn't it? But then you read chapter 25. And what does it say over your headings of chapter 25? G2? Israel commits harlotry. Anybody else say anything different? Ms. Dawson? Worships Baal, Ms. Dawson? Israelites worship Baal, Ms. White? Doctrine of Baal, okay. Anybody else say anything different? Now, wait a minute. Who do you think they're doing this with? Anybody got any clue? G2? Daughters of Moab. And guess where they come from? They're Moabs. Go back to chapter 22. Chapter 2 and verse number 1 says what? And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of where? Moab on this side of Jordan. And notice verse 2, and Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and who was so afraid? Moab was so afraid. So who is Balak? Come down to chapter number 4, and Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about. Notice that's important, elders of Midian. Look up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was the king of who? The Moabites at that time. So when you open up chapter 25, they are in sin with the Moabites, the very ones who tried to get Balaam to curse them. How did that happen? I wanted to get this people cursed. I cursed and cursed, and it didn't happen. I open up chapter 25, and now I'm having sinful activities with them? How did that happen? Does everybody see that connection? This is the king of Moab here that we're talking about. And this is the Moabites here in chapter 25. And notice what this reads. And they called the people, verse number 2 of chapter 25, and they called the people, they are the Moabites, called the people of Israel, unto the sacrifices of whose gods? Their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to whose gods? Their gods. And Israel joined himself unto who? Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against who? Israel. So in other words, I wanted you to curse Israel. I couldn't get you to curse them. And so I am going to learn from Balaam how to get you to compromise. And how am I going to get you to compromise? Hit you at your desire. Hit you at your desire. These are the very ones that they should not be involved with. Notice verse number 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. So get this now. Balak has now said, this is what we've got to do. We can't curse them. But if we can get them to compromise, they'll be corrupted and God's got to judge them. And so what happens here, Moses stands up there. Moses said, okay, guys, every one of us that's been involved with Baal Peor, men, kill them. Wow. Can you imagine that? Brother killing brother? Can you imagine that? But that's exactly what happens here. He says, Moses said unto the judges, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. You come down to verse number 9. And those that died in the plague were 24. How many? 1,000. So did Balak get his way? Yeah, he got his way. But how did he get his way? But who taught him? Balaam. Balaam said, you know what? I couldn't curse him, but let me tell you, this is what you do. If you go call them to your feasts and get your women to call for these men and get to parading around them nakedly and all this other stuff, they'll come and they'll fall. And when they fall into sin, their God's got to judge them. He's got to judge them. He's a holy God. He's not going to stand for that. And so if you entice them and you get them to come out here and play around and party around, they'll join into your feast and your flesh and your foolishness, and their God has got to judge them. Now, wait a minute. Go back to Exodus 34, because they've already been forewarned about this. Exodus 34 and is it Exodus 34 I'm looking for? Yes, Exodus 34. And notice Exodus 34, verse number 12, because they've already been warned about this. And see, that's why I want you to understand what's going on here, because Jesus is very, very animate about this crowd in Pergamos. Exodus 34, verse number 12. Notice the Bible says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest. Who's he speaking to? Israel. Lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Come down to verse number 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is what? Jealous is a what? Jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with inhabitants of the land, and they go a what? Whoring after their gods, and do what? Do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou what? Eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after. Is that exactly what they're doing? Yes. Did God say he was a jealous God? Yes. Did God say he's going to exact vengeance? Yes, he did. He did. Not right there, but he did say he was going to exact vengeance if that happened. Come back over to Numbers chapter 24. So we see that this is happening. This is that same Balaam. So in order to compromise Israel, he taught him what to do. You're in chapter 25. Go over to 31, chapter 31, Numbers. And again, I want us to see what's going on here so we can kind of make sense of this. Numbers chapter 31. And when you come to Numbers 31, notice verse number 14. Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Now, what's going on here? He had told him to go and destroy Midian, the Midianites. Midianites were the ones that were responsible for this, Midianites and the Moabites. And he said, destroy them. And so they slew a lot of people, just like King Saul did. But then they bought the ladies. And notice what it says down here in verse number 7. They warred against the Midianites, and the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the who? The males. Verse 8. And they slew the kings of Midian. And towards the end of that verse, notice who else got slain as well. Anybody see a familiar name down there towards the end of that verse for verse 8? Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And there are some other folk that were slain as well. They bring all these people back to Moses, who they did not slay, along with so many animals and things like that, just like King Saul did. And notice Moses' reaction here in verse number 14. Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains of thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Question mark. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through what? The counsel of Balaam. He says, hey, look, through the counsel of Balaam to commit a trespass against the Lord. So how did Balak know what to do? The counsel of Balaam. Balaam told him what to do. He said to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So what's going on here? You find Jesus very upset with the church at Pergamos because they have some people in that church that are doing exactly what Balaam was guilty of doing. And what was he guilty of doing? Getting them to compromise. Okay, everybody follow that. Everybody got that? Okay, all right. So as long as we got that settled out, go back to chapter, Revelations then, because that's where the story comes from, Numbers chapter 22. And that's what happened with Balaam. Balaam was a picture of the phrase, every man has his price. The account is in Numbers chapter 22 through 25. And Balaam was a picture of a compromiser or of someone that can teach you how to get what you want, but at a price. There's always a price. There's always a price. My question for us tonight is this. What will we compromise for? We have to ask ourselves, what will I compromise for? What will I sell out? What's my selling out point? What will I compromise what I believe for? What will I give up in return to get what I want? Seems like Israel gave up everything. And that's the type of people that are in the church at Pergamos. There are people that can tell you how to get what you want. Balaam was the picture of a compromiser, a false prophet. Balaam could not curse Israel, so he taught Balak, the enemy, how to corrupt them through compromise. The word taught that is used there, notice down there in verse 14. But I have a few things against thee because thou hast there them. Notice the phraseology. Jesus said, I have a few things against thee. He said, you got a lot going for you in verse 13. He says, I'm the one in verse 12 who's talking to you. But then he says, I've got a few things against you. Notice this, because this is the reason thou hast there them. You have there in that church. He says, you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. So obviously, as he's writing to them, he's saying, not everybody has this stand. And what is the problem with this church? This church is standing through all this corruption. A few are standing, some main ones are standing, but others are falling in the church. And he's saying, this church is like many other churches out there. By the way, every church has that. And so he says, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And this is why it's so dangerous. Who taught Balak? What did he do? He taught the enemy how to do something. That's why it's dangerous. Let me talk to you just for a minute here. And you know it's true. Normally we look for people and we want to mimic people. We look for leaders. And that's why most churches have leadership standards. Why? Because people follow leaders. And if you have someone in a leadership position and their leadership capability is not the greatest, what are people going to follow? And they are teaching by their leadership. See what I'm saying? And so if they're in a position of leadership and they're leading, but they're not doing what's right, what are the people going to do? So in other words, just like Balaam taught Balak, we as leaders and leadership can teach others by our actions. And that's why Jesus has such a problem with that. He says, because you got these people in your church and they're teaching people what's wrong. Now, by the way, back in these days, what might they have been teaching them? Notice what it says. Doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Notice this. To eat things sacrificed unto idols. They weren't supposed to do that. And to commit fornication. They weren't supposed to do that. So perhaps these people that were in this church were teaching them that it's okay to do these things. Because he says that's what Balaam did. Now, why would Jesus use such a strong example like that? Because obviously there were some problems there in the church that these people were allowing to perpetuate somehow, some way. I don't know how, but I know they were in the church because he says they're there. Amen. And so when you look at this picture here, he instructed them. The word taught there in verse number 14, he says, when he taught them means to instruct, to show, to give insight, or to give them something. He taught them how to let down the standards of separation and sanctification due to their lust. And then God would have to correct them, which he did. Amen. By the way, we have what's called the mouse trap. What do we do with the mouse trap? We set the mouse trap down there and we put a little lure there. And what does the mouse say? Guess what I learned too? Mice, their favorite thing is not cheese. They like carbs and sweet stuff. They'll take carbs and sweet stuff over cheese. I didn't know that. I thought you put cheese out there. But you know what my mother always put on our mouse trap? Cheese was too expensive. We put peanut butter. We put peanut butter on ours. Guess what peanut butter has? Carbs. And we caught a lot of mice. Caught a lot of mice. Rats got away, but we caught the mice. Amen. Rats are too big. Amen. So they lured them in here. And it's interesting the way this reads. In other words, he said, corrupt them through compromise, and God will severely chasten them, and thereby decreasing their numbers, then there'll be less in numbers for you to defeat. And that's exactly what they were thinking, although it didn't work because God is greater. Amen. So compromise of God's holy standards causes corruption. And so when you look back in the New Testament and you see what's going on here, you can understand why God had such a problem with these people in the New Testament being in the church, and why he said, hey, look, you've got these people in this church, and this is not a good thing. This is bad. Amen. He said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now, I want you to notice how this is there. He said, who taught Balak, notice this, number one, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Then notice again, to eat things sacrificed to idols. And then notice again, and to commit fornication. So there's three things there, to cast a stumbling block, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. He said, there's three things that Balaam is teaching in your church. Now you got to ask yourself, who is putting a stumbling block in your way? Because he said, first of all, he's teaching you to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. There are some people in the church that are going to be a stumbling block. They're going to teach by their lifestyle, by what they do, a stumbling block. Because you're going to say, look, they're doing it, I can do it too. Amen. Hey, he said, they're here in the church and they're casting a stumbling block for the children of Israel. He said, then to eat things sacrificed on idols. By the way, you go back to chapter 15 of Acts and you find they wrote to the churches and told them to stay away from those things. Matter of fact, hold your finger there, and we probably won't have time to show you a whole lot with that. Acts chapter 15. And Acts chapter 15, this is when they had the council at Jerusalem. Because they were saying that people had to be like the Jews. And he said, no, you don't. Let's see here. Come down to chapter 15, verse number 27. This is when they had delivered the letter. And notice what he says here. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Abstain from meats offered to idols. Is that something that they were teaching there? Yeah. And from blood, and from things strangled, and from what? Fornication. Was that something that was warned in Acts 15? Yes, right here. From which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So the council had already told them, stay away from fornication, stay away from these meats offered to idols, and these things strangled, and with the blood. Why? It was offensive to Jews. Now fast forward to Revelation. And notice what you find in Revelation. Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block for the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, which was a no-no, and to commit fornication. So we have to look at our own selves when we look at this church and say, okay, Jesus, if you had a problem with it then, I know you have a problem with it now. What is it that we do that can be a stumbling block for somebody else? What is it that we do that can cause someone to get involved in idolatry? What is it that we do that can cause someone to commit fornication? Because these are all things that he said they were doing. And he said, I have this against you because these people are in the church, and by their lifestyle, they're teaching that. Give you a quick New Testament picture of that. Go over to 2 Peter 2:15 real quick. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week. 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 15. And notice what he says here. This is the New Testament pictures of Balaam, which have forsaken the, what kind of way is that? And are gone astray following the what? Way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved what? The wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And then look over in Jude chapter number 1. Well, there's only one chapter in Jude anyway, amen. Jude 11. And notice what Jude says about it. What am I saying here? There's a teaching that goes on in the lifestyle of certain people in the church. And he says, look, you can't have that. Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in what? The way of Cain, and ran how? Greedily after the heir of who? Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. What am I saying here? There's a lifestyle that was being allowed to exist in the church at Pergamos that Jesus was saying is very dangerous there, and I don't like that. And it's going to cause a stumbling block before other people, and they're going to fall. It's going to cause them to commit fornication. It's going to cause them to get involved in idolatry, and I hate those things. And so we have to really look at this church and say, okay, God, am I causing someone a stumbling block? Am I causing someone to get involved in idolatry by what I'm doing? Am I causing someone to commit fornication by what I'm doing? Because that's exactly what Balaam was teaching. He said, now, Balak, this is what you do. You go out there and have your great feast, call those hunks of men out there and lure them and entice them by those young ladies, and God will have to judge them. You won't have to fight them at all. And guess what? Who ended up having to fight Israel? Remember what Moses said? Who fought Israel? Israel fought Israel. Moses said, kill them. 25,000 of them. So guess who's standing out there laughing? Balak. Guess who's got his money? Balaam. Guess who's in hard straits? The people of God. Why? They're killing each other off. And folks, that's what happens in churches all across America, all around the world. We end up killing ourselves off. Because we're corrupted through compromise. Because we're stumbling over blocks. Because we're going after idolatry. We're getting involved in somebody in the congregation is teaching it and nothing is being done about it. Say, preacher, how are they teaching it? By their lifestyle. Sometimes by their lips, amen. Sometimes by their looks. And we've got to be so careful because people follow what we do. And if they follow us wrongly, we can fall over. That's why I preach about it on Sunday. Don't look at other Christians. They'll make you fall. They'll make you fall. Well, they did it, so what? Amen. Hey, we're going to have to finish up with this next week because there's a lot here that I really want us to see because there's a reason why Jesus went way back to the Old Testament to pick this guy named Balaam. And there's a reason why he shows up in 2 Peter talking about false prophets. And there's a reason why he shows up in Jude talking about false prophets again, because he's a dangerous character to have because by his lifestyle, he teaches people something. And he teaches stumbling blocks. He teaches idolatry. He teaches fornication is okay by how he behaves. And so we've got to be very, very careful with that. And we'll try to finish up with this next week because there's two characters here. When he said a few things, it's verse 14 and it's verse 15, the Nicolaitans, and we'll talk about them as well. Because those were two characters that Jesus said, this type of character in your church that you're allowing to be there is very dangerous. And you can't allow that there because it will affect and infect everybody else. Amen. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a stumbling block for someone else. I don't want someone to look at my life and say, hey, look, you're the cause that I'm involved in idolatry. I don't want someone to look at my life and say, you're the cause that I'm involved in fornication because I followed what you did. I listened to what you said. I looked at your lifestyle. I don't want someone to say that about me. Jesus said, they're there. They're there, and you're allowing it to be there. That's sad. That's sad. But for a church, folks, that should not be. We'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but that should not be. There's a reason why Jesus said, I got a few things against you, and he lists them there. Folks, let that not be us. Let that not be us, amen. Let's make sure that we're busy saying, Lord, check my life, Lord, work in my life. Lord, I don't want to be a stumbling block. Lord, I don't want to be the cause of someone getting involved in idolatry. I don't want to be the cause of someone getting involved in fornication. Lord, watch my life. Clean me up. Work in me and show me what I need to do to be the example of Christ's likeness. Because they had some good accolades. He said, look, you guys, you've not denied my faith. He said, but you're allowing some people to be in your church that really shouldn't be there. And you're tolerating what they're doing, and what they're doing is teaching by their life. Amen. Folks, we got to watch it. Got to be careful. Father, help us tonight as we look at Balaam. Lord, a serious, serious subject. Thousands of people died in Israel. And now Jesus is pointing to this church at Pergamos in the New Testament and saying that you're allowing this type of a personality to be in the church. And this personality is teaching by his life. This type of personality is teaching by their lips. Oh, God, help me never to be responsible for casting a stumbling block before someone. Lord, help me not to be responsible for causing someone to get involved in idolatry by what I do. Lord, help me not to be responsible for, Lord, leading someone into a situation of fornication. Lord, help me to watch my life and to govern my life and to protect myself in such a way where I don't do that. Lord, neither do I put people in leadership positions that will teach that, because then I'm to blame if I put them in leadership positions. I'm teaching them by proxy that it's okay. Lord, watch over us as a church. Help us to be circumspect. Lord, help us to watch what we do, watch what we say, and to watch where we go, that we don't get involved in this. Oh, Lord, it's so easy for the devil to get in there and twist things and to allow things to appear differently than what they are. Help us never to give place to the devil, but, Lord, to be constantly on guard for our testimony and for this type of a situation that's appearing at the church at Pergamos. Work in us, work through us, Lord, bless now. Dismiss us with thy blessings, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Prepare the hearts of those that will be here next Wednesday that will take of the candy from the tray that we'll have, and the tracts most of all. Prepare those young hearts so they might read a word that will save them from the word of God. And we'll thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's got our closing announcements, men. Amen. Don't forget, we are waiting for Saturday. Pastor White, come on up. Pastor White, be gone this weekend. So y'all pray for him. Amen. Might have to preach up there, brother. Got to get that sermon ready.
All right. Just a couple things. Again, be in prayer for the